And a good Sunday morning, Detroit, everyone across the Great Lakes state of Michigan. Welcome to JR Sunday. Great to have you with us on this day. It's Dave, it's recovery day from the Rocket Classic. We're going to be talking about that quite a bit. The city was alive this weekend. There were so many things going on downtown. Good concert last night. Chris Stapleton and Lainey Wilson took the stage. One heck of a great show. If you love guitar playing, it rivaled one of the best concerts that I've seen from that perspective. But the city, the number of cowboy hats, cowboy boots downtown walking around, almost comical. But the restaurants were full. The bars were full. Everybody was having just a spectacular time.
Was that at Ford Field or was that at LCA?
Ford Field.
So Ford Field had the Foo Fighters and then Lainey Wilson and Chris Stapleton. Was that back-to-back?
And I was thinking about that Ford Field. That's a big setup to go in there and do that with all the sheeting that they put down, the plastic flooring. And they should have like a series of concerts like that when they do a setup, because it makes sense to set it up for two shows, three shows, versus just popping it in and out of there. A costly setup, as I know from the Rocket Classic.
I heard the Foo Fighters played for like 3 hours. They were trying to rival Taylor Swift. It was people loved it.
It's so good to have that downtown. Had a chance to drop by Pine Hall, which is a new establishment downtown. It doesn't need any promotion because the line goes out the door to get up there. But the vibe, the energy, it's on top of the Hudson Building. You enter it right off of Nick Gilbert Way. Been up there when it's been a little bit quieter, but for the first time with full energy, and it rivaled any place I've been in the world from an atmosphere standpoint. The service was amazing. The food, they have this fried chicken thing that's out of this world.
Speaking of fried chicken, have you seen this new Netflix documentary that's out? In the tone of the Morgan Spurlock McDonald's one, where this comedian from England. He goes 28 straight days between the UK and the United States trying fast food fried chicken sandwiches at every place and every location. And then talking about how he feels and then like how they're made. It's hilarious.
It's, you know, and when I do, we were talking about it before it came on. Quicken Loans moved downtown 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Like all of this has transformed in just 16 years. And that's,
I mean,
it's remarkable that, you know, Dan Gilbert's vision and Dan Gilbert's continued energy through Bedrock, through Rocket, through StockX. It's quite remarkable what's going on in the city of Detroit. Speaking of remarkable, the Tigers, Jason Fissler is in, our Tigers expert. They wrap up with the Giants at 4 o'clock. They're back at Comerica on Tuesday, and they're only 3.5 games back and two games back from the wild card.
Hanging in there.
We're right there.
Hanging in there. And the future pitch last night, Jackson Jobe went 5 scoreless, 4 strikeouts. First start in 14 months. So the cover wasn't left bare when our two top pitchers left.
Do you like our odds better to get in the wild card, or do you like our odds better chasing
the division?
The division.
Yeah, the division, I think, is going to be the easier route as much as – I mean, there's like 5 teams that are separated by a game and a half in the wild card, so it's anybody's game there. But it's like, when are the White Sox going to come back down to earth? They've let this division for a couple of months. They were like the last place team last year. So if just keep fighting, just keep winning series, and you got a shot.
Yeah.
The division's weak.
But we're right back. Tiger Talk is going on again.
The whole American League is weak.
Yeah.
The American League, the National League is so much better.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have lost 7 in a row, so they're falling apart, which is nice to see. But Scooble pitches next on Monday at home against Kansas City. If anyone's interested, I am.
That might be a big series, August 28th through 30th, rolling into town when the Dodgers come to America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they're part of a 6-man rotation, so Tarek Scooble is not going to have to pitch as much as he did here. So they're, you know.
I don't know. Between Troy Melton and Jackson Jobe and when Reese Olson comes back, and Tigers might have a good young core pitching staff, but still the same problem with this Tigers team. Two issues I have with the Tigers. One, hitting. They'll go off for a couple games and score, you know, 8 to 11 runs, and then they won't score 3 runs, you know, for 4 straight games. And the bullpen.
Bullpen's bad.
The bullpen is not good. Yeah. So you can have great starting pitching, but because no pitcher goes past the seventh inning, you got to have a bullpen that can help close it out.
Remember, Dave, this is a positive show. The Tigers are coming back. They've closed the gap.
Save your money. Got a chance. Save your money for playoff tickets. Here, come on.
You can still be positive, but be honest about it.
No, it's fair and balanced, just like Fox. Richard Haddad, big congratulations to my friend. He's taken over as president CEO of the Detroit Lions. Great choice on the part of the Lions. He's going to infuse a lot of energy. He's been obviously a lieutenant for Arne Tellem over with the Pistons and had a chance to chat back and forth. He is so excited, and I think this city is going to be excited about what he delivers to the Lions. The Lions, of course, Thursday, preseason game down at Cincinnati. It's going to be fun to watch. They have Washington as the only home preseason game. That's on August 22nd. These tune-ups, and then the Colts starts for real September 13th with the Saints. They finished fourth. The Lions finished fourth last year in the division. Get a little bit easier schedule. It's too early to even say, but it's going to be a fun season to watch, I think, based on the schedule and based on some of the changes that are coming in. Gibbs, of course, getting the big contract.
I'm looking forward to week two for the Detroit Lions.
Is that the Bills game?
Week two, Thursday night, the first Amazon Prime game in Buffalo as the Bills open up Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
Now, that would be a kind of a cool game to probably go to.
That would.
If you're Lions fans.
I chose Miami in November.
Yeah, I know you did. Which is smart.
How about the Bills fans, man? They're going to be able to be nice and cozy indoors now.
Is it? But doesn't
it's gonna
be weird. Doesn't it have like an old opening at the top though, or is it retractable or something?
Oh yeah, does it like it's, old it looks, Texas Stadium?
It looks like old Texas Stadium.
Well, they'll definitely be a lot warmer than they
because you know that you gotta in Buffalo they gotta have the elements.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and this is not being negative, but in my opinion, every football stadium should be a dome or have a retractable roof.
Yeah.
I disagree. I wanted to have the Big Ten championship game in Chicago in the weather in December, and football's played outside.
I don't like what happened in the AFC championship game last year.
Yeah, I love outdoor.
I don't like
football.
That storm that came in out of nowhere in the second half. I don't like that.
The Michigan Wolverines, they kick off September 5th with Western Michigan. Six of their first seven are at home. In fact, they only have four road games, those being Minnesota, Rutgers, Oregon, and, of course, Ohio State. Michigan State, they start a day earlier, September 4th. You will be in East Lansing, Dave, for the tailgate show. They've got some tough road games, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, UCLA, Michigan, and Rutgers. It's going to be fun to have football back in our lives, both the Lions and college.
I'm hearing that the Pat Fitzgerald practices are pretty good. Like, he has them not only, like, practicing and doing things the right way, but like picking up the garbage and like I saw an interview with him and like throwing it in the trash can and keeping everything really nice.
Well, I remember him as a player, and he's a player. He's a coach that played the game, so he knows what was demanded of him, and he knows what he can demand. I think player coaches get a little respect because they actually laced it up and played the game. I'm looking forward to both Michigan State football. Along with the Detroit Lions, we got a great show coming up. Laura Graneman's next. She is the executive director of the Rocket Community Fund and the Gilbert Family Foundation. She's with us here on WJR right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Rocket Classic wrapping up. Such a positive impact over the past 8 years. It's really a legacy that's going to live on for a long time. And what I'm most proud of is maybe the things that happened away from the course, away from the fairways, the tee boxes, and the greens, and the impact that this event has had, the conversation that this event has created, and the person driving much of that over the past 8 years is Laura Graneman. She's the executive director of the Rocket Community Fund and the Gilbert Family Foundation. She joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Laura.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you always, and I appreciate all that you do for our community in such a broad way. When you look back at the Rocket Classic, and specifically this year's event, what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind as you're trying to, you know, recapture the imagery and the impact that this year's event had on the city of Detroit?
I mean, I think this year has been such an amazing event to be able to look back and think about the way that we've all come together over the last 8 years. And I think this year really provided like an opportunity for us to celebrate and really cap off what has been a really remarkable journey. I think the Rocky Classic has always been about so much more than golf to all of us. And it's been an opportunity to celebrate Detroit on a national platform. And it's been an opportunity to drive impact in the city of Detroit. You know, you and I and many other people were part of the decision to continue the tournament during 2020. And that really was a pivotal moment for us to say, you know, if we're going to continue this tournament, we need it to have lasting impact. And what could that look like? And that led to a conversation about the importance of bridging the digital divide during a time when digital resources were more important than ever. And so looking back on all of that really has just, it's been a really wonderful opportunity this year to gather, celebrate, reflect, and ultimately like look forward to everything that we can do together in the future.
Yeah, I want to take our listeners back to 2020. And there was a particular call, I remember where I was, and we were all on video screens trying to figure out how to communicate with each other. And you had a remarkable position on that call because it was very close to let's not do this. The risk is too high. And you had done research and research based on listening and observing and knowing that there was a problem in Detroit. And you not only identified that there was a problem, you figured out what it was. And it was your voice on that call that really kept the Rocket Classic going for that year and propelled it to the level of success that we've had in the city through the tournament, with the gap that existed in digital inclusiveness and as well as youth programs, which are traditionally part of golf tournaments. But you really caught the ear, I think, of everybody on that board to make a decision to go on. And if anything else, you're to be applauded for that. But I also would like you kind of to walk our listeners through that and the success that we've had.
I mean, I appreciate the recognition, but I would say it was a real team effort. I mean, nobody knew what to expect that year, right? We didn't even know if it was possible to put on a golf tournament during a pandemic. This was new for everyone. And looking back, it was definitely the right decision, but it certainly took a huge number of people to operationalize that decision. So anyway, it was a team effort. And I think at the time, again, we just felt so disconnected. And it felt to me, and I think to many of us, that not only do we need to have impact in a financial way, but also something like a golf tournament is an opportunity to bring people together and to offer hope in a time when we really didn't know what was happening or what to expect. And there was so much uncertainty and sadness. So, at the time, and unfortunately, even before COVID, the city of Detroit was one of the least connected cities from a digital perspective. We only had about 40% of our households that had high-speed internet and access to devices. And so the Rocket Classic, we decided that year, you know, if we're going to keep going forward with this, we need to be able to provide resources in this critical moment and drive systemic change that will last not just today, but into the future. And so I'm really proud now that looking back on it, we've been able to distribute tens of thousands of devices and help tens of thousands of households get access to high-speed internet.
No, that's exactly what I want to go back on is you think about us on this call trying to figure out should we have an event or not. And you very quickly took us to a mindset of, what if I'm trying to get medicine? What if I'm trying to get an education? What if I'm trying to get a job? And we all knew on that call that you couldn't do it face-to-face. And it was that guidance that really propelled us. Now you've taken another step with an incredible legacy gift that Dan and Rocket, and you've led based on, you know, positioning of where we can go in the future. Dan Gilbert and the Rocket companies, all the family companies, are very invested in the future of Detroit and will continue to be. And this legacy gift is another step in that direction.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that Rocket Classic's impact was sustainable going into the future. And so the legacy gift that we've crafted is to continue to build upon what we've, the sort of foundation that we've built together over the last 8 years of digital inclusion. And specifically, this is a $3.5 million gift to support an organization called Digital C and the Detroit Housing Commission. And the idea is that Digital C, which is an internet service provider, will be building infrastructure on all of the Detroit Housing Commission public housing properties so that everyone in public housing has access to high-speed, low-cost, or free internet. And that infrastructure, because Detroit Housing Commission has properties all across the city of Detroit, that infrastructure doesn't just support people in those properties. It can also be turned on to support the broader community around those properties. And so that includes, that means low-cost internet for potentially up to 60,000 households.
That's incredible. We're talking with Laura Graneman, the outstanding executive director of the Rocket Community Fund, as well as the Gilbert Family Foundation. She's on the board of the Rocket Giving Fund. And it's a delight to watch you. I mean, the highlight every year for me is watching the Golf Channel presentation because you do such an incredible job speaking about community. As you look back and reflect 8 years, the highs, the lows, we encountered so many different things from the pandemic to the tornado, to the floods, to the smoke from Canada. But what are some of the memories that you're going to take away from those 8 years and the impact that it had on you, your family, and really your team and the community that you lead?
Yeah, I think you said it best at the beginning when you said, like, some of my favorite things happened off the course, and then the opportunity to celebrate those things on the course. It was just this, like, beautiful full circle moment every year where we were able to really kind of formalize everything that had happened throughout the year and celebrate it together as a community. So, you know, I really loved things like working with Black Tech Saturdays throughout the year to be able to support their programming and invite people into the classic from their community. I really loved, of course, personally, like, this year was really special for me because I just had a baby about a year ago, and being able to bring her onto the course for the first and only time, that was so special, you know, to be able to introduce my family to this important event that, you know, is a golf tournament but means so much more to me. So there's so many personal and professional sort of milestones and accomplishments that just felt really proud. I felt proud of and were extremely fun to celebrate on the course.
Well, it was great to see you and Mark on the course and join your family with our family. And you, Laura, have had such a positive impact through this. And you've got so much more to do. There's a lot to do in Detroit, and we are confident of our future based on you being at the helm of all that you do.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate that and appreciate your partnership.
Thanks. Laura Graneman, Executive Director of the Rocket Community Fund, the Gilbert Family Foundation. NF Gala is coming up in November, another big, big event that Laura runs. And we'll be back talking about another event, the Final Four, with Dave Beach now right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Dave, Tom Izzo has been with Michigan State for 43 years, 31 of those as the head coach of the Michigan State Spartans. That's quite a legacy.
Love Tom Izzo.
Love Tom Izzo. I love this next guy, too. He's been with the Detroit Sports Commission, with Visit Detroit. Let's start there. 33 years, 25, leading the Detroit Sports Commission. He now steps in with the shoes of being the CEO for the upcoming 2027 NCAA Final Four, the next big event rolling in Detroit. But really, Dave Beach now has been the lead on so many great memory-making events, so many wonderful things happening in our city. The one coming up, near and dear to my heart. I love working alongside Dave on everything, but this one in particular, and he is knocking it out of the park on the organization structure, the feel that this event's going to have for residents of Detroit, residents for the state of Michigan, all the visitors that come in. He joins us now on JR Sunday. Dave, good morning to you, and thanks for taking a few minutes with us this morning.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to be with you, and thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, I mean, Dan's only been in Detroit 16 years. You've been here 33. It's remarkable the legacy, really, that you've had on the city of Detroit. Now you're sitting here 217 days away from Selection Sunday, 237 from the semifinal games, 239 from one shiny moment being played at Ford Field, and that's going to be emotional for you. But tell our listeners, where we're at right now with the planning for the 1st of April.
Yeah, so, you know, to your point, you know, we're 237 days away from the ball tipping on that Saturday in Ford Field, and certainly the planning process has ramped up significantly, to say the least. And, you know, I think people don't realize the work that goes, you know, in behind the scenes. You know, they think about three basketball games, but it's so much more than that. And we've talked about it before, how, you know, the Final Four looks so much different than it did back in 2009, and the opportunities that is going to be presented to our community, you know, the free and open to the public events. You know, not everyone's going to have a ticket to the game, but as we say, no ticket, no problem, because, you know, there will be the opportunities to be engaged in so many different ways. And, you know, all of our key stakeholders, you know, including yourself, are engaged at this time to be sure that, you know, it's not the best Final Four Detroit's ever hosted, but the best Final Four the NCAA's ever seen.
You've been attending Final Fours well before you had to. You know, folks go now to kind of get ideas, but memories of those Final Fours you've had in your past that maybe will play a role in how you're going to deliver this year's to the world in a way. Are there things that stick out that you've seen over the many years that you've attended Final Fours in the past?
Well, I think, you know, each city is different and unique in how they deliver the Final Four. You know, San Antonio, you know, Houston, the list goes on and on. And of course, Indianapolis, who's hosted it multiple times. And I think I'd probably compare, you know, ourselves more to Indianapolis in terms of the footprint and what that looks like. And it's just, I think, delivering on a Detroit experience. And, you know, many of these, you know, fans, and especially the college coaches, as you know, with the coaches convention that comes with Final Four each year, many of them haven't been back since 2009. So, you know, we want to be sure that they walk away with an incredible experience and one of those I had no idea moments of, you know, what Detroit is now. And, you know, it's changed dramatically like the Final Four has, you know, since 2009.
Yeah, we love working closely with you, and it's that storytelling that's so important. When folks come in, and the NFL draft really, I think, demonstrated the ability that the state, the city had in your skills, what you do along with Visit Detroit and Claude Molinari and now the Sports Commission with Marty Dobek. It was remarkable, the storytelling that took place. And I've been telling people the Final Four is going to elevate in certain ways to even a higher level. And it's going to be fun. You know, the planning is one part of it, but then it's the doing and the reality of what we're at and how we're telling the story of the city in the midst of one of the greatest sporting events in the world.
Yeah, that's going to, you know, shape, you know, our future success with, again, delivering on an experience like we did with the NFL draft, because, you know, we've got some other major events in the pipeline that we're, you know, currently in conversations in, or, you know, are on, you know, that strategic vision for, you know, what's next. And so, you know, it's incumbent upon us to, again, to deliver, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for those fans and also the organizers, you know, the NCAA leadership, to be sure that when they walk away, again, it's, you know, what's the next championship that we can bring to Detroit? And that's, you know, the goal of Visit Detroit, the Detroit Sports Commission, and ultimately me, to be sure that our organizing committee is delivering on that.
The one aspect that I really appreciate about you, Dave Beach, now the CEO of the 27 Final Four coming to Detroit, is your ability to pull people together. And I don't think folks maybe realize that 10, 15 years ago, when an event like this wanted to come to the city, it was a cumbersome process. It was the event having to deal with a lot of different people. You take that mix out, and you are the one that's now pulling the city as a unified focal point. And that's why the draft came here. It's why the Final Four came here. A lot of the people that you work with, both public and private, are critical to the success, and it's your relationship abilities to tie those together that's really had so much success for the city. Talk about some of those various groups that you need to have to the table, you brought to the table, to present us in a unified way.
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, it starts with the venues. Without, you know, stadiums and arenas, we don't have these opportunities. So, you know, I think with the Detroit Sports Commission, you know, board of advisors, you know, the individuals that make up that group who understands the vision, the importance of, you know, what these events mean to our community, not only from an economic impact standpoint, but continuing to shape, you know, what Detroit's image is around the country and the world for that matter. And so, you know, it's the venues and it's, you know, it's the city, obviously, with public safety and all the things that they deliver and are required for a venue or a major event. And, you know, all the other stakeholders that, you know, are part of, you know, making sure that we're all on the same page and again, being able to deliver that experience and expectation of an event like a Final Four or an NFL draft. And I think the NFL draft was probably the moment where we as a community really came together and collaborated on, you know, an opportunity that I don't think I've ever seen a community come together like this before. And, you know, it's going to be incumbent upon all of us once again to deliver on the Final Four experience.
And part of that is the work of Ken Hayward, Claude Molinari, yourself, others that are working together to make sure that it's not a stressful time once we turn the clock on the calendar, that we're financially ready to roll. And we're currently out in the marketplace talking to folks about investing in this community in a way that's going to have unbelievable economic return, you know, 40 million plus back to our community. But we need folks to line up with us in a way where we can provide some value and benefit to the organization, but really in a way that it's let's do this one so we can get the next one. Talk about that a little bit, about the need for financial support.
Yeah, you know, we operate in such a competitive environment. You know, every city in the country, you know, wants events like the Final Four. Some have, you know, the financial backing to do that. You know, if you point to Texas, I mean, there's a reason why Final Fours, you know, Super Bowls, other major events, you know, flow through San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, because they have a model in place where they get state funding to help support these events. And, you know, the notion of raising, you know, $17, $18, $20 million per event, our community just can't support that time and time again. So state funding is critical, but also it's, you know, important from a community perspective, from the corporate philanthropic, to really lean in and help support these events because of the impact, again, I talked about earlier, that they have. You know, $400 million, you know, has been reported from an economic impact standpoint from previous Final Fours. And, you know, that's certainly nothing to sneeze at, but, you know, the return on the investment, you know, is certainly there. So when you think about, you know, raising if 18 or 20, the return is incredible. So we really need, you know, and hope that the community will lean in the support from a corporate standpoint. Again, the foundations, I think there's some unique opportunities that we're able to deliver on, you know, between now and, you know, when the ball tips on April 3rd. And so, you know, with your group, obviously, leaning in significantly and helping us support that, you know, I just think it's important for all of us to come together and help support financially, you know, the Final Four.
I admitted a zero there. It's $400 million impact, not $40 million. Thanks for correcting me. And big David Barrett, our dear friend, One Shiny Moment's going to be playing in his home state. Of course, wrote the song in East Lansing, now lives in Ann Arbor. We look forward to his tune played. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for all the work you're doing on this year's event. It's going to be incredible.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, Dave Beach now. He's the CEO of the Final Four. We'll be right back with Kirk Gibson right after this. Oh, you have to love Jason Fissler and Dave Rieger firing up the Spartan fight song for one of the legends in East Lansing, Legends of the Tigers, number 23. Kirk Gibson joins us here on JR Sunday. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I was wondering what you're going to play today. That's a good surprise.
That was a good surprise for you and me. So go green.
Go white.
Hey, you had a big weekend, ribbon cutting, great ceremony for a venue that's so critical to folks that are facing the battle, the challenges, and creating opportunities through Parkinson's with and opening up a gym. Talk about that and why it's so important to the pathway that you're delivering to so many folks that that need the ability to move.
Well, we believe movement matters when you have Parkinson's, and it's it helps to slow the progression, and also it puts you in a better state yourself. You know, we opened this center up last October, and we thought, you know, people would come in and look at the building before we had it redone. They said, man, this is so big. Well, we're finding out here 8 months in that we needed the space, everything that we got. And we just finished our new construction, but it was donated by Dan and Amy Lepp. And it's important because we have already 2,300 members in choir. We've assessed 1,400 of them, 1,200 of them have started their classes, and we are saving all the data on everything that's been done along the way. You come in, you can enroll in one of many 15 or 20 different classes. The assessments are done so you're in the proper class, the proper level. You don't want to. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Our Verizon hasn't been very friendly to us. I thought I might have cut off there. But anyway, you know, we found out that we were getting a little short on our space, so we finished this, and with the generous donation of Dan and Amy Lepp, we got to cut the ribbon on it last week, and now we're on to the next function. Is, you know, all the programs that we offer are free, and we're keeping our word on that, and we got to sustain that. And we got our Kirk Gibson 10th annual golf classic that'll be going a week from today, and
we're looking, you know, forward to playing in that this year. I'm bringing the team down from the Rocket Classic, and it's kind of our post-event celebration. I want to go back to Amy and Dan Lepp for a minute. Dan's father, of course, led Blue Cross Blue Shield for so many years and has had an incredible impact in our community. His father, Robert, lived with Parkinson's for a long time. So this was a gift that they made from the heart as well as from the need that's taken place, and a big tip of the hat to them for understanding, like really knowing, and then delivering on a gift that creates opportunities for folks well into the future.
Yeah, and Dan did a great job of articulating what he saw and felt when he walked into the center the first time. I think his words were, my dad would love this place. And we went in and had some discussions. And, you know, Dan is so many years at Blue Cross. And, you know, back in 2019, they sponsored our first Everybody Versus Parkinson's Gala. And he's just been a long friend. Met him through a mutual friend many years ago. And it's just a mentor and a leader. And we're very fortunate to have him.
It's amazing.
Support what we're trying to do as well, in honor of his dad.
As you mentioned, the 10th annual Kirk Gibson Golf Classic has delivered more than $2.4 million over the past 10 years. It's sold out, so we don't need to promote the event, but there's still a lot of ways people can come together and help contribute toward the incredible work that you're doing.
Yeah, we'll have a good time out there. You know, when I look at the center and then I think about the Golf Classic, because of the Golf Classic, is the reason we even considered building a center. And, you know, great supporters, Ricky Lash and Tom Archiplay, you know those guys well. Greg and Don Williams, just a huge support from Michigan State folks and friends. And the Golf Classic, we'll have Tom Izzo out there again. He's you can't ever get tired of Coach Izzo. And, you know, we got 10-year people that have been there all 10 years. And it's good to have them come out and reaffirm their commitment. And after we get done with that golf classic, we're going to have another gala in April of 2027. And, you know, we feel there's been a lot of progress made, Mark. I call it the Parkey Revolution. We were in Phoenix, Arizona this year for the World Parkinson's Foundation Congress convention. And, you know, there's finally some progress, I think, on the way that we kind of treat Parkinson's. We treat the symptoms. And I think as you see things evolve, you're going to see that we're going to treat it more by the cause, eliminating the cause. And there's heavy evidence that many pesticides, herbicides, our food, our water, our air, we've got to protect that. And that's maybe where the root of where it all starts. And in countries where they've eliminated many of those pesticides and things that we are known to cause or make the percentage of getting Parkinson's go up, it takes almost 15 years before you see the bell curve start to level off and go down. But we've got a lot of good things. Our volunteers are outstanding. Employees are outstanding, and our members are really taking initiative and really started contributing to what we're trying to do. And we're all engaged in trying to protect quality of life for as many as we can. We're having people are contacting us. We have 25 or 30 inquiries from around the country about people who would like to duplicate it. It's getting that much recognition. So we feel good about what we're doing, what we're going. And always looking for people to support and contribute and volunteering. Obviously, donations are important. And we're locked in, ready to go.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Gibby, for joining us. I look forward to being out there on the 17th at Wingate with you, all your friends. And thanks for opening up the dialogue on Parkinson's, because that, more than anything, can be a blessing. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on again, and we'll see you.
All right, Kirk Gibson, the legend of the Tigers, the Spartans, and really the whole state of Michigan. He's one of our greatest, greatest gifts. We'll be back right after the top of the hour. And welcome back to JR Sunday, second hour underway. Great to have you with us. Joining us for a conversation about automobiles. Cars are such an important part of our fabric here in the state of Michigan, right here in Detroit. Lynn Burberry, who is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Autorama and Championship Auto Shows, along with Mike Signorello, who is the president of the Michigan Hot Rod Association. First of all, good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining us here on JR Sunday.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Mike, yes. I'd like to start with you. Living in Huntington Woods for a long time, and the Woodward Dream Cruise is such an important part of our fabric here in Southeast Michigan. It's fun to watch the cars roll in. It's fun to see the displays that take place. It's coming up August 15th. Talk about that, and then I'd like to talk about kind of a transition of how that event helps propel to some things coming up in March.
Okay, well, we were sort of partners with City of Royal Oak there at the park at 13 Mile and Woodward, and we put on a huge car show. It starts on Friday, and people are be able to come in and out, drive in and out on Friday, but Saturday, once you get in, you have to stay. And we get usually somewhere between 800 to 1,000 cars in the park. And up front, there's all kinds of food vendors, and it's sponsored by GM Performance Center. The people that come in love it. You can have your car show around. There's bleachers out on Woodward, so you can watch the cars go up and down. And what it ends up doing is it gets a lot of people, you know, sort of ready for Autorama. And we actually go in there and hand out invitations for people to come, because there's some beautiful cars that come in there, out-of-state cars. Last year we had one from Minnesota, I think, and one from Idaho. and they were older people, and they were excited to come. They said, I don't know if we can make it that far, but they did. They showed up at Autorama. Their cars were beautiful. They won awards. You know, it's just it's a good time, and it's really something good for the car community there.
Lynn, I want to transition to you a little bit on the Autorama. I want to tell you, I grew up in Lexington, Michigan, which is just north of Port Huron, and Autorama was my visit to Detroit on an annual basis. My dad would bring me down, and I remember the guys from Emergency and Adam 12 were there, and they were some of the greatest memories that I've had, specific to introduction to automobiles and really the city of Detroit. Autorama has thrived, and now you're using Woodward to kind of link connectivity with cars being on display. Talk about that show, what it means. I know both in Chicago and Detroit, but here in Detroit, March 5th through 7th. Talk about that event and what it means to the city.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to. I actually was born in Detroit. I've lived here most of my life, so it's very much that for me as well. So it's a dream for me to be able to work on an event that will be turning 75 in 2028. That's very, very rare and almost unheard of.
I was not at the first one. I want to preface that. I was not at the first one.
I was not either. But what it means what it means to the city is really it is a nod to our heritage, because obviously the Industrial Revolution is very, very important to our city, and that particular activity created all of what you see today. The engineering that is here is the best in the world. The cars that are produced here are the best in the world. That's debatable by some, but we believe they are. And if you think about when you first got your driver's license, your first love, everyone's first love that I know, was their car. It represented freedom. It represented the opportunity to participate in something that it's the first time you're an adult. So you might not have been 18, but you were able to do things that were your own. And that's what every custom car represents. It is an extension of your personality. So one of the things that we're going to really work on this year with the Detroit Autorama and Chicago World of Wheels is connecting to the businesses in the cities that we're in, because we want to invite everyone to come and experience the joy and the passion and the amazing workmanship and that go into these cars. In Detroit, we have the Riddler Award, which is actually awarded to a car that was shown for the first time ever. So we do connect Detroit and Chicago, because you have to show your car for the first time in Detroit. It can never be seen. From here, you can actually proceed to our Chicago show, which is the very next weekend, to compete for the Legend Cup. So we give car owners an opportunity. They spend thousands of hours building their cars, and they have an opportunity to showcase them in a way that they couldn't anywhere else.
That's incredible.
So
Mike, when you hear some of that and you try to correlate that with where you're headed with the Michigan Hot Rod Association, where do you make that connectivity from maybe like the big three and the suppliers, that the engineering that Lynn was just speaking to the type of work that you're currently doing and maybe aspiring to do in the future?
Well, I tell you, she couldn't have said anything any better than what she did. She explained a lot of it. But the engineering that goes on here in Detroit, I was born and raised in Detroit. And again, my first car was absolutely the greatest thing when I could drive. And you've seen it evolve from, you know, older cars that were just like pieces of artwork when they engineer it, to the stuff now that is so ungodly fast coming out of the factory and stuff like that. And people like it. They like the designs. And we have some of the best engineers and technicians here in Michigan also. Michigan Hot Rod started this a long time ago. We actually built a drag strip, which was Motor City Dragway out in New Baltimore. And the way we funded that was through Autorama. We started the Autorama, I think it was 1961, and it was at the field house of UAD College. Then it went to the state fairgrounds, and then it became to, which will always be called Cobo Hall, but Huntington Place, because I can't disrespect that. And but everybody still goes, just like Pine Knob. It's still Pine Knob no matter what. But once that started going on and we funded that, we had the drag strip, and after a few years we sold it. And a members of the Michigan Hot Rod, Bob Larrabee Sr., actually, he piloted the Autorama for many, many years, and then they sort of bought it off of MHRA, and we helped them get the cars on the floor in the show. We help them get it to judging, and we do the awards. And it's a really, really nice marriage that we have between the two organizations. And there's a lot of moving parts people don't understand to make this thing work. I mean, we got over 600 cars on the floor upstairs. And then the Extreme, which is a different kind of culture, is downstairs. And there's a couple hundred cars down there. So this is a very, very large deal. And we are, and I will say this probably, we are the best show in the country mm-hmm. and the largest.
And have been for a long time.
Absolutely.
Lynn, we got about a minute left. Share with our listeners how to get involved in Autorama and things to look forward to leading up to that event.
Absolutely. This year we actually are going to have a bit of a focus on the 80s because obviously, you know, our age range is kind of coming into things that happened at that time. So look on our website, Autorama.com, for our celebrities that'll be coming, our feature cars that'll be coming, also Facebook and Instagram. And the most important thing right now, to Mike's point, is enter your car as soon as you can. We will have entry forms at the park, at the car show. Just look for the Autorama World of Wheels black trailer. And we go live with our electronic, we're doing it for the first time. So this is a big thing, electronic entry form starting Labor Day weekend.
Well, thanks to you both for joining us on JR Sunday. I wish we had more time. There's so much to share. It's so much part of our heritage, and looking forward to our future with both of you.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to it. Hopefully we'll see you at the show, Mark.
You got it. Mike Cigarello, he's the president of the Michigan Hot Rod Association. Lynn Burberry is the vice president of sales and marketing for Autorama and the Championship Auto Shows. A great conversation. We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this. And welcome back. Shinola, born right here in Detroit, an unwavering commitment to so many elements of quality, whether it's watches, leather goods, even the hotel located right in downtown, the greatest place to stay when you're staying in the city. We celebrated with Shinola during the final Rocket Classic that took place this past weekend. There were so many different connecting points that took place Donna Moshe Basha, who is director of marketing at Shinola, to join us and kind of remember some of those memories, but also all the elements that Shinola has to offer. Good morning, Donna. It's great to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
A long list of connecting points. And, you know, I think when we look at tying threads, it's always important with all of the companies that we have in Dan Gilbert's portfolio, whether it's Rocket, StockX, Shinola, it's working together and doing some really neat things. We started with the Pro-Am gifting way, way back and provided gifts to both the Monday and Wednesday Pro-Ams. Shinola came along and said, hey, we'd like to provide something for the champion. Talk about how we work together in such a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way we work together just came about so naturally. I think both Shinola and the Rocket Classic are just so committed to showcasing Detroit on a national stage. And I mean, at the end of the day, this celebrates so much of what makes Detroit special, you know, whether it's, there are so many different initiatives that we do as a brand to really celebrate the local community, bringing people together. So it really just felt like such a natural fit because Detroit not only is our birthplace, but it is our DNA, and this felt like the perfect opportunity to introduce more people to the city and to all the different brands and institutions that really call it home.
One of the great moments, standing on the green, Michael Thorbjornsson wins the championship, and our favorite, Mike Tirico, of course, is running the MC role. And Mike Tirico had his Shinola watch on as he was presenting the champion with his Mackinac Knight race automatic watch. And it was fun watching that interaction because it was so natural and authentic that, you know, you need to wear this watch because all of us in Detroit do. And Mike Tirico had his on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what just made it so authentic. Like, it felt like, okay, this brand isn't necessarily coming in and doing a random element at the end, but there really were multiple touch points throughout the tournament rather than just that one sponsorship moment. And I think when you're in Detroit, I mean, you know this, and Mike Tirico knows this, and so many different types of people know this, but the love for the brand is just so deep-rooted, and I think Shinola really, really showcases values around hospitality, celebrating Detroit. So, I mean, it, again, goes back to the point about it's just so exciting to see national and international visitors experience the city. And Detroit and the Rocket Classic are just such integral puzzle pieces to that city. So we really are just so proud to play a role. I mean, we've spent the last 15 years building this brand nationally and have received national attention. But at the end of the day, Detroit is what we're always going to be able to call home. And I mean, the Mackinac had just launched a week before the Mackinac Night Race. And so being able to put it on the winner was something we were like, is a special moment that needs to happen.
We were also very deliberate, and when we took over the event back in December, January, when we're going through the gifting for the hundreds of players that play both on Monday and Wednesday, Monday we selected the robes, the iconic Shinola Hotel robes, and then Wednesday we selected the Runwall leather backpack. And the reason for that was not here's a gift for, you know, supporting the Rocket Classic. That was part of it, but it was every day that you pick up those two iconic gifts, you're going to remember Detroit. You're going to remember the Rocket Classic. You're going to remember the Shinola brand. And that was part of the reasoning by making a gift more than a gift.
Totally. I honestly think, I mean, as a marketer, as someone who works in brand building, I think today's consumers connect with brands through experiences more than any ounce of traditional advertising you can give them. And I think that's the easiest way to just build brand love is around an experience and to tell people, okay, you were a part of this incredible moment that is the Rocket Classic. And now, just like you said, whenever you look back on this product, it's not just a product that serves like a function in your life, but it's a product that really mirrors and represents this incredible moment this person was a part of. So I think we show up like that all the time throughout the year and have always on programming and experiences. But I would say the Rocket Classic was definitely a special one and a memorable one.
And the last component with the Rocket Classic, my fiance, Kristen, had an event at Hudson this Friday night for Child Safe. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the concert last night for Chris Stapleton. We stayed at the Shinola Hotel. That's where a lot of the players stayed. Yeah, it's a brand. When you walk in there, you feel that vibe. But Jordan Spieth, Keegan Bradley, Akshay Bhatia, many others of the players stayed downtown and got to feel that Shinola vibe in a positive way. And to a person, the report backs, Jordan Spieth gave us the highest compliment of the property. And these guys travel around to some of the nicest places out there. So you add that brand name to all of the great work you're doing. It's an incredible place to work at. It's an incredible place to be associated with. And it's an incredible place to go and find your gifts for either yourself or your loved ones.
Thank you. Yeah, the hotel, I mean, whoever is in Detroit, I'm always so ecstatic to see, even if they've just popped by and visited for 5 minutes, because it really is the most immersive, like, design-oriented element of the brand. So we're proud to be from Detroit. We're proud to be a part of the family of companies. We're proud to represent it in any sort of opportunity that we can. So we really thank the Rocket Classic team for extending this hand and allowing us to be a part of this special last moment.
Yeah. Anything else exciting out there in the Shinola world that's coming up in the future? I know it's when you walk down Woodward, it's one of the great, great stops on your journey with the many retail now. But what's in the horizon for Shinola that's exciting for our listeners?
A lot on the horizon. I can't say too much, we are entering.
We like breaking news here, but we don't get it
exactly
often.
Yeah, maybe we'll get the exclusive. We have an incredible last few months of the year lined up. We're launching a really, really big brand campaign this upcoming October. You heard it here first, that we're actually shooting in a few weeks. So we're very excited about that. And obviously just entering the holiday season, I think right now we're really, really deep in holiday planning, and I would say that's the most important point of the year for our consumers and people who are discovering the brand, just making sure we're giving them a very intentional, incredible experience and moment with the brand. So a lot of firsts also from a product perspective coming up. We have some really, really exciting, even just watches that we've been working on from like a manufacturing perspective for a few years now that have really sort of pushed us to our limits that are launching over the next few months. So much to cover, but yeah, just stay tuned.
Well, that's so exciting. And thank you so much for sharing a little time with us this morning on those memories and what's in our future. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Talk soon.
Donna Moshe Basha, she is the director of marketing for Chanel and does one great, great job for the company and for all that want the brand. We'll be back on JR Sunday, talking Cosm right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday, 32 days away from the opening of a new venue that's going to amaze. It's going to bring so much energy and engagement of folks in a positive way. I can't even describe what both residents and visitors to Detroit are going to experience. It's something that you have to step into to believe, and nobody better to introduce what's going to happen on September 10th, other than my birthday, is Paul B. He is the he's been a longtime sports and entertainment executive. He's now with Cosm here in Detroit, guiding and leading the way, and he joins us now on JR Sunday.
Mark, good morning, and happy early birthday. I didn't know. It's a great day all around.
Yeah, good day to celebrate. Cosm, even when you're around it, you can't get on an elevator and describe people. You can at a very high level, but it's the emotion that it generates when you step in. Tell our listeners, come September 10th and beyond, what Cosm's going to deliver to residents, visitors, everyone in the city of Detroit that comes on in and enjoys great sports.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me back. It's good to be back on the show, Mark. And things that people need to understand, once we're open and we got the doors wide open, you're going to see an entertainment that you've never seen before. It's immersive reality through what we call shared reality. And it's not just sports, it's cinema, it's arts and entertainment. And when you think about how we go to live sporting events, we're not trying to replace that. We're trying to be the next best option between being at the game, but 1,000 levels better than being at home. And I think we've accomplished that with our tech stack, with the way we're innovative, with our dome structures, our hall structures. It's all really come together to give you the most unique experience you can get.
That first week is going to be incredible, starting with NFL games, college games. I think Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is part of that first week, but kind of go through what that first week's going to be and how you're going to make the introduction of this amazing venue, Cosm, to the world.
Yep, no, for sure. So come September 9th, we have our proud event. That's, you know, a lot of the VIPs, you know, people that have, you know, been on the board and endorsed us and really had our back trying to get everything up and running. And then on the 10th, we're going to open up to the general public. And that's our general public grand opening. And so we've got Thursday night football slated. It's going to be an amazing event. You know, you get to see Cosm in its full glory and display at that point. And then we start running right through the weekends. We've got college football slated throughout the day, you know, Michigan, Oklahoma at noon on Saturday the 12th. And then we roll in right into that evening with Ohio State at Texas. So we're showing the full slate in a matter of a handful of days. You know, we're not going the full back-to-back-to-back as we will have set up after that first week, but it's a slow introduction for the public, kind of get used to the rhythm of how we're opening these events. The food and beverage, we're very excited to introduce, and that's going to be top level as well. And then shortly after that, you know, we'll get a little more, you know, shake off some of the cobwebs to get ready, and then we'll be full-fledged runner from that point on. And so that's when you'll see the Harry Potters, the Willy Wonkas, the Matrix, you know, the Cirque du Soleil start getting played in. And then we've got some more things that are getting open here in the next couple of months that'll be really exciting to announce. Like, it just was announced that's going to be the first immersive reality horror film of this kind. So we're very excited about that. Amazing responses. Actually outperformed the initial interest in Harry Potter did, which I didn't think that was ever going to happen. So we're very excited about what's coming up this fall.
There are venues currently L.A., Atlanta, Dallas. One is underway in Cleveland, as well as the opening here in Detroit. For our listeners, give us the mechanics of what's inside the building we've watched grow right next to Campus Martius.
Sure. That's a great question. So the three main components of Cosm, the dome is the structure that everybody's probably seen on social media and the marketing, where that's where you have the full immersive reality in that dome setting. makes it feel like you're at the game completely around you almost, you know, as far as being able to see the stadium, see the stands that are actually at the game all around you in the movies. The second place is what we call the hall. And how I like to describe it, it's kind of like a sports book or the best sports bar I've ever seen put on steroids. And what I mean by that, that same display technology that's in the dome, we pretty much wrapped a whole wall of that in the hall where you'd be able to see that. So same kind of high-tech revolution, but we can dictate how we want to chop that display up. So if it's Saturday in NCAA football, we could have four or five games going at one time. Whatever's playing in the dome does play in the hall in the bigger portion of it, but we can have five games. We could have 10 games rolling, or just one singular if we really wanted to. So that's where you get a really great multiple-game opportunity to watch. And then the third area is what we call the deck. That's in the third level there, a little more natural daylight up there when it's during the day. We've got two outdoor spaces out there, but that's a spot where if you don't want to be, you know, specifically two-way seat for an entire game, you want to come up for lunch, you want to come up for a drink, you want to come hang out with some friends, that's more of the general admission area where you still see what's going on in the dome. You're still going to feel like it, but those are kind of the three main areas of what makes up Cosnet are in all four venues currently. Will be Cleveland as well, but the fun thing is that each Cosm feels different. It's got a little bit different vibe to it. They're not cookie cutter, rinse and repeat, which is really unique for us.
We're talking with Paul B. He's a longtime sports entertainment executive. He's with Cosm right here in Detroit. The relationships that you have with leagues and given your background, obviously know how important and critical those are. Talk about the leagues that Cosm has a relationship with that folks can anticipate in the future being able to go in and seeing some of their favorites.
Yeah, it's very unique what our, you know, our partnership stack is, where we have all four majors covered, MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL. But then we go a step above that as well, where we have Premier League overseas, where we're showing those Premier League games early in the morning and whatnot. Partnership with NCAA, March Madness is there, Super Bowl, even all the way down to like Kentucky Derby from a sporting standpoint. And we were exploring, you know, the conversation continues. So if you have a few UFC matches throughout the year, we got the U.S. Open as well. And I do know there's a number of conversations, see how far we can extend that, right? So we don't have all, you know, like one of them, you know, the Masters, a little bit harder to, you know, get involved with. But I know those conversations have happened, and who knows where it is now. But I think that's where Cosm can be really unique, because I think it's only going to get better. I think we only have more offerings as people really wrap their mind around it, and we continue to scale to come to more cities around the country.
And folks can learn more. I'm assuming tickets are going to be available online. How does all that work?
Absolutely. So we right now, we just started our conversion process. We had over 100 accounts that did put down deposits to get their groups, where it comes to holidays, where it comes to company outings, full venue buyouts, private events, you name it. We've been working with companies and individuals for the last couple of months. The upcoming week, we'll have those on sale to the public. And there's a couple different ways. If you do, we can sign up for Notify Me, where if there's a specific event, like you really want to get to Harry Potter, or you're really excited about NBA, once we announce that, you can sign up for those notifications to say, all right, on sale is this date. Here's your early entrance, or here's where they go on sale. But outside of that, people will be able to look at our website now. You can see the matchups and the programs that we have coming up, at least for the first month. And we'll continue to add on to that as we finish, you know, building out that schedule. So if you want to come out to Cosm, check out Cosm.com. If you're looking for your groups, your private events, your full venue buyouts, call me, call my team. We'll love to have you guys taken care of and give your group the most unique thing they're ever going to see.
Well, this city is blessed to have you back in your hometown after the long journey you've had on your sports and entertainment career. The expertise you deliver is phenomenal, and I can't wait for it to open. It's going to be a venue where you're going to want to come downtown, you know, spend nights, go to not only see sporting events live, but here, go to the various restaurants that we have across the city of Detroit. Your connectivity with this city is really going to elevate this venue at the highest level.
Very excited about it. And, you know, Detroit, get ready. Come down and see us. Mark, excited to show you around soon, sir.
Yeah, it might be tomorrow. In fact,
yeah,
looking forward
to
it.
Right. We do have it tomorrow.
I'll be over tomorrow to take a walkthrough. I appreciate it, Paul.
Absolutely. We'll see when you get down there, Mark.
You got it. Thanks again. Cosm, it's opening up September 10th to the public. They're going to have a special event on the 9th. And you're going to be blown away when you go to this venue. It's all that it has to offer and more. And we look forward to opening the doors and getting your feedback. We'll be back here on JR Sunday to wrap up today's show right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday. I wanted to give kind of a note of appreciation to this community that came together over the past 8 years, in particular this year for the Rocket Classic. There are so many folks involved, starting right here with WJR and the broadcast partner that did so much at DGC over the past 8 years. We welcome them for a variety of shows throughout tournament week each year. They were out there this year just doing incredible incredible conversations with guests that related to the event, related to the city, related to the state of Michigan. Thanks to Ann Thomas and Jeff Marcereau and everyone out here. Dave Rieger kind of holding Ford out there and making sure the broadcast took off. But you go through Bedrock with Jared Fleischer and Andrew Danuski and Continental Forte, who food service top to bottom throughout the years, Great Lakes Wine and Spirits, Fabiano Brothers, Dean Charters, who did all the shuttles from the parking lots, Junior Johnson with the floral, Trailer Events doing so many different things. I thank Casey Herbis and Jason Langwell, who were there those first few years that really started this some 8 years ago. And you kind of just keep going through. The Detroit Golf Club, unbelievable partner over the last 8 years. We really engaged heavily with the Detroit Golf Club this year with Keith Hazley, their president, Carl, Sam, Kellen, so many others. Tyler Ray, who redesigned the course. In fact, one of our tour players, Wyndham Clark, throughout the first pitch was heavily involved, made a commitment here. He had some comments about the course, about the work Tyler Ray and all the membership and leaders at the Detroit Golf Club delivered for this year's event.
The change in the golf course is amazing. It's actually kind of sad that we're not coming back next year. It's one of the best redos I've ever seen. They made it longer. They made it tougher. Obviously, aesthetically, I think it's beautiful with the contrast between all the great green grass and then the amazing fescue. So it's, like I said, it's one of the best redos I've seen maybe ever in golf course design. So good for him on doing an amazing job in the membership. And yeah, it's just unfortunately a bummer that we're not coming back next year.
I think you go through those. You go through Lawrence Tech, Detroit Mercy, Oakland Mall with Mario Kinsey, who delivered amazing opportunities. Rhino, who set up the platform for the tee box and the green for par three and the D. Mark Staton, former football coach at Michigan State, was heavily involved in coordinating that. Shinola, Grayson, you kind of just keep going through the list. Rock Entertainment Group with Nick Barlage, Rocket, and Varun Krishna, the CEO, and their entire team. The tournament team, you know, Carter and Dean and so many others that stepped forward this year to deliver record-setting results in tickets and fan shop sales. We had but a few boxes remaining, had to order additional things coming in. The concessions hit record numbers this year. TV ratings all-time high in the 8 year. In fact, we brought in Bo Hostler's coffee stand, who travels around the circuit. They serve more cups of coffee too. Caddies, players, and players' families during the event. We had music, entertainment, so many aspects. In fact, Bo Hostler is leading the Wyndham Championship right now of his Borista that was in here. But, Dave, you go through everything. I think the biggest thank you is to Dan Gilbert for having the vision to bring the Rocket Classic here, that decision 9 years ago. We've had 8 wonderful years. Who knows what's going to happen with professional golf in the future, but – at this moment in time, and as we talk to Laura, you know, the 10 plus million plus adding another 4.5 million legacy gift to help with the digital connectivity, to help with youth and their future. The Rocket Classic has been nothing short of a massive success for the city of Detroit.
I covered every single one of the Rocket Classics. It was great every year. A lot of help for the community. I think only one of two PGA tournaments that were held in an urban setting. I think the other one is in Atlanta.
Yep.
And it was just great. It was always kudos to you. Kudos to your team. You did have some challenges, especially from weather. And every year it seemed like it was a different challenge. And you guys met that challenge every time and made it work. And it's sad. It was sad when it was over. It was sad breaking down on Sunday after Spin on Golf for our last time at the Rocket Classic. So hopefully You know, I'm old enough to remember covering the Buick Open.
Right.
And that was fun at Warwick Hills and Graham Link. And I know we're going to have some majors coming back to Oakland Hills, and that'll be cool. But it will be really missed not having a PGA event in the summer, you know, here in Detroit. And just think about where Detroit's come from the Super Bowl all those years ago and the Final Four, and how Dan Gilbert has helped transform this city, and all the great response that you get from the players who want to come back and love the restaurants and love the shopping and love the hotels. And it's Detroit is just the it's just a cool place to be. And so hopefully we get another golf tournament back, either whether it's at Detroit Golf Club or at some other venue. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, and a big part of it, and we've done some correlations between the PGA Tour and college sports, but sports are changing dramatically, and TV, corporate partners, they're all analyzing. The Tour, perhaps more than any other league, has had to respond with threat in LIV, and they have responded in adjusting schedule of listening to their Tour players. Talking to the Tour players here and hearing some in the media, there's some concern about the direction it's going, but like college sports, it's going to level out, and opportunities are going to be there in the future, and it's trying to figure all that out. The Tour is going from 40-some events, albeit there are a variety of them. There were 40-plus events on the Tour, and now there's going to be 15-plus the other league, and that 15 is going to be what's considered the upper echelon of professional
the signature
golf.
Events, right?
Yeah, I think they have different names for
right.
them now. But,
yeah.
You know, they had Tier 1, Tier 2, and they've given them some markers
right.
Of a variety. But that's going to be the focus of the future, and they're still uncertain how it's going to shake out. And we look forward to those conversations and seeing, you know, what may be out there in the future. We had the conversation with Paul B. from Cosm. Sports, of course, you're a big sports fan, you're a big movie fan. This has got to be a venue you're kind of chomping at the bit to get into and seeing what that's all about.
I'm very excited for Cosm to open up. I'm very excited to see what it's all about. Sports, movies, it looks incredible. And can't wait till September when it opens and to go see what everything's about down there. It's going to be cool. Anytime a new thing comes into Detroit, you know, usually it's and if it's a part of something that is under the umbrella with Rocket and Rock, it's going to be cool.
It was a great combination of guests today, from, you know, Laura talking about the impact, Dave with the Final Four, Dave Beach now. We talked about Autorama and the Woodward Dream Cruise and all the things that Shinola's doing, the Cosm. Kirk Gibson, I wish I had an hour with him, because there's so many things you want to talk about. We talked about his ribbon cutting with the new venue for Parkinson's, a gym that is an unbelievable asset, as well as his tournament coming up on the 17th. It's when I was talking to him, I'm thinking how great of a time for a sports fan right now to have. We're approaching the pennant races. You know, we're only three games out or so, right?
Tigers. Tigers in September is always.
And we're all
good.
Positive,
Tiger,
right?
Tigers August to September is always good.
That's right.
Start of the Lions season, start of Michigan, start of Michigan State.
It's a great time.
The Pat Fitzgerald era begins in East Lansing.
And you know,
very exciting.
A lot of people, when you mention football this time of year, they go, don't rush summer. Always remember, summer is still going on when football's going on. It doesn't
right.
get cold till like the beginning of November.
Right.
So
no,
enjoy.
September is my favorite month in the state of Michigan. You still have warm days. You still kind of get some energy. It's going back to school, all those things. So I'm not rushing it. Enjoy August, but there's a lot of fun stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks.
It is supposed to be a mild winter, too. Hopefully.
You know what that means? Then it won't be a mild winter.
It's supposed to be a mild winter.
Thanks,
Dave. Which is always good news.
More negativity.
Yeah, negative.
That's not negative. That's not negative. It's positive.
He's down on the Tigers and up on the weather.
Trust me. You want? I'll bring the negativity.
I guess I was being more negative on that one. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Nothing negative on this show. It's all about positivity. It's been a fun show. The guests have been incredible. They guide this for you, and hope you learned something. I know I did. And the Inside Outside guys are coming up next. It's a great show to listen to. Get a lot of good advice. I can't thank you enough for joining in here with us every Sunday. We love coming in and doing the show. Big thanks to Jason Fissler and, of course, the kingpin, Dave Rieger. Have a great week. Enjoy it. And as always, keep driving, Detroit.